KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. The New Year's march across the globe has now reached eastern Russia. It's already 2025 in New Zealand. And here in the U.S., a million people expected to ring in 2025 in Times Square. ABC's Lionel Moyes.
The NYPD expanding the area blocked off this year in wake of the ISIS-inspired machete attack at a police checkpoint 2 years ago. Drones, bomb-sniffing dogs, and officers in plain clothes will be deployed. The police commissioner is promising a massive presence following the recent attack at a Christmas market in Germany.
In South Korea, Jeju Air CEO Kimmy Bae saying funeral preparations are underway for the 179 people who died when the airline 737-800 crash landed on Sunday. An American NTSB team of experts has arrived in South Korea to assist in the investigation into the crash. Respiratory illnesses like COVID-19, flu, and RSV are surging nationwide. New Hampshire seeing high activity. This is ABC News. Part of New Orleans cleaning up on the last day of 2024 after a partial collapse of a building that stood for nearly two centuries.
Real estate records show that the two-story wedge-shaped building was constructed in 1830 and was being renovated. But last night, a security camera across the street captured video of its collapse. Jamal Israel had just come home from work.
All of a sudden, I just heard this loud boom and the lightning flash through the windows.
Falling bricks took down an electrical transformer and crushed two cars, but no one was hurt. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
A brief scare on the runway for a jet carrying the Gonzaga University men's basketball team. It nearly crossed a runway at LAX as another plane was taking off. No one was hurt. The FAA is investigating. And it's being dubbed the Work-In. Walmart selling a look-alike of the famous Birkin bag. The real thing can go for tens of thousands of dollars. The Walmart version just under 80, but sold out. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Save communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you. And highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
The Bucks are back on the court. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks are on the road in Chicago to take on the Bulls at the United Center. The Bucks with a record of 16-14. The Bulls three games under 500 at 15-18. We'll have a full recap after the game tonight. NFL, the Packers hosting the Chicago Bears Sunday at noon. Players like Packers right guard Sean Ryan still disappointed in their 27-25 loss to the Vikings Sunday in Minneapolis.
Everyone here is upset. You know, going into the end of that game, we definitely, you know, we're juiced up, you know, get a chance to win the game, but, you know, we can't wait for, you know, the end of the game to get ready for that. So it's got to start fast and do better early on in the game. We'd like to end each drive with points, whether that be a field goal or seven, but we just got to do better across the board. You know, pick up blitzes better, you know, run the ball, you know, block people better, not allow them to get that far ahead and play catch up.
That's Packers right guard Sean Ryan with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Former President Jimmy Carter passed away this past weekend at the age of 100. Many remember Carter for his decency, endless service to humankind, which included his involvement with Habitat for Humanity. But what most people don't know is that he was also related to Motown Records founder Berry Gordy. Gordy said that in 1978, his sister Esther did some digging into their family tree. Gordy says he was filled with shock and pride when he found out that he and Carter were actually third cousins. There's as much drama off-screen surrounding actress Blake Lively and actor-director Justin Baldoni as there was on-screen for their film It Ends With Us. Following Lively's lawsuit claiming Baldoni sexually assaulted her and launched a smear campaign against her, Baldoni is filing a countersuit, claiming Lively and her team launched a smear campaign against him. Does anything good ever come from a Hollywood smear campaign? Oh, yeah, publicity. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy today with a high in the mid-30s this afternoon. The wind north to northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, a few flurries, our low 23. Tomorrow, it will be mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, we'll review the strikes and gutters, the ups and downs, and the good and bad of 2024. Plus, how much use are those New Year's resolutions worth anyway? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on New Year's Eve 2024. Got a couple of other texts coming. It would be great movies to watch tonight. The Great Santini. Robert Duvall was so good in that movie. It's unbelievable. Plays the part of a fighter pilot who's really mean to his son, but mean in a way that he wants his son to be tough growing up. Great, great, great movie. Another one of my all-time favorites, The Great Race with Tony Curtis, Jack Lemmon, and Natalie Wood. I never saw that movie.
No, that's an old movie.
Yes. Let's go to our man, Tony Walters. Tony, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm waking up.
Yeah. I was just going to say your voice never changes.
It's always raspy.
You're always waking up, huh?
Hey, Tony.
Happy New Year to you, Tony. We're just talking about New Year's Eve, very special day. And we've had you on before talking about your book. But
yeah, I just want to back up real quick. Oh. Just give another. Tony Walters, how many years with the Press Gazette, Tony?
Just about 40 years.
Press Gazette, grew up in Green Bay. Long, unbelievable family heritage in Green Bay over the years, and did so much for the city of Green Bay. Now an author, wrote a great book on the Ice Bowl. But anyway, I'm just going to take it from there. Jim?
Oh, sorry. He's one of those guys I think everybody knows.
And they do, but I just want to.
Yeah. Okay, so we all right, now.
That was Broadcasting 101, wasn't it, Todd?
Absolutely.
See, and I didn't take that course, Tony, as you know. But tell us, the Ice Bowl, right? I mean, people are talking about it today, and I think that's awesome. It's about Green Bay. It's the part of who we are,
part
of our culture.
Has anything ever happened in Green Bay that is more memorable worldwide than the Ice Bowl, Tony?
Probably not. I mean, it just is, reminds, you know, it's impacted so many people in a lot of different ways, even those that weren't there. So, people still talk about it. As Chuck Mercine told me, that it's a game that'll never die.
Yep. That's exciting. So with that, tell me your fondest memory of that, because everybody has theirs. Kind of not a Kennedy thing, but, you know, kind of people who were around really remember where they were. Like, my father-in-law was at the game. And is that really true that if everybody said they were at the game, we're at the game?
A million people.
Yeah. But he really was there. He was there. How about you, Tony?
I was on the field. I was supposed to work with a photographer from the Associated Press, where I would run his film to a dark room under the stadium, but his camera froze before the game started and he left. And I had nothing to do but just walk the sidelines. And when Bart scored the winning touchdown, I was right there at the goal line. So it was very memorable that way.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I guess John knew that.
I didn't know you were at the goal line watching that. Tony. I just assumed you were working. I remember the part about the photographer. I didn't know. How old were you, Tony, if you don't mind my asking? You had to be really young.
I was, I was 22.
Okay.
I was 22 at that time. I was just a part-timer in the sports department, and so they assigned me there. But my pass down on the field said I was supposed to stay back against the stands, but nobody was checking. You know, they were just surviving down there. So I walked right past the Packers bench, you know, going one end down to the other. And
see some tackling out there.
Yeah.
Grab. Wow, that's very cool.
Tony, and you wrote a great book, and I really enjoyed it. And we've got a couple guys. Well, we've got some guys coming up. Ron Umenta, who is, I mentioned him to you, he's one of the guys on top of the goalpost when they're trying to tear it down. And a couple months later, mm-hmm. he was in Vietnam. We've got Chuck Wellens coming in, who is sitting on top of a mountain in Vietnam, outside of Khe Sanh, listening to the game. And then we've got Rocky Blyer coming on, talk about it. And you, I'm not going to give it away, but you did his story in your book, about which I think is a great, great story about Rocky Blyer, the legendary Rocky Blyer, and him being involved with that game.
Yeah, the fact that he, and I don't want to give away his thing, but he was on crutches because he had blown out his knee at Notre Dame. And so his father talked him into leaving with about 4 minutes to go in the game. You know, and they were in the parking lot when the game ended with the roar of the crowd. But what was remarkable to me was Rocky told me that 5 years later he was on the sidelines with the Steelers. And
okay, you're giving away my story, Tony. Okay, you're giving away my story. Yeah, yeah. This is right, radio, Tony. We got dozens of people listening.
Okay, I'll save that one for Rocky. But you know, you mentioned the one person on the goalpost. One of the remarkable pictures is you see the people on the goalpost and the goalpost coming down, but in the background is the stands. Now, this is half hour after the game's over, and you look in the background, and the stands are still full. Yeah. You know, and you think, what's the matter with these people? Yeah. The game's over.
And that cold.
Tony, have you ever been as cold as that? I mean, you've lived here in Green Bay forever. I mean, literally forever. Have you ever been – have we had colder days?
We have. To be honest with you, John, I don't remember being cold. I'm sure I had no skin showing or anything like that.
Wow.
Having grown up there, but I don't have a real strong memory of like being cold and thinking I wish this game would get over.
Wow.
I was aware of the fact that the Cowboys were dominating that game in the second half.
Yeah, you're right.
But the Packers pulled it off.
That's funny you say that, because I've talked to someone else who was there, and it kind of became colder after they saw the story. You know, they weren't watching the game. It was like, we were like focused.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's be honest though, too. And I haven't sat in the stands in a long time, but I do know that.
Oh yeah. Body heat.
Once you're all just, and you only have about 14 inches on those seats.
Right.
So I imagine that part of it, huh, Tony, if you're up there and, you know, 20 rows up and surrounded by people and not really moving, have your snowmobile suit on or whatever, I would imagine then it's bearable. But these guys running around without gloves on, right, and sleeveless, wow.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. It was a different mentality there, that's for sure.
The other reason I don't think people really complained in the stands is, can you imagine if you did? It's so cold.
You're good, get the hell out.
we need the room.
Absolutely. Tony, you know what I just read yesterday? And I had to like double check this. I could not believe it. Do you know that that was only the third game ever played at Lambeau Field in December up to that point?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yes.
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Because they always used to go to the West Coast for like their last games. And it's been like 2 weeks out in the West Coast playing the Rams and the 49ers. Huh. And that's only
correct.
Third game ever held at Lambeau Field in the month of December. Isn't that bizarre when you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Time's changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony, what are some of the things in regards to like with your book? And first of all, where can everybody get it?
Just about Bosses and DePere,
yep,
has it. Barnes & Noble also has it. And other bookstores through the valley, too, have it as well. Plus, you can get it on Amazon. So,
right. Tell the name of it, Tony.
Ice Bowl, the game that will never die.
There you go. Tony, in talking with the people, and obviously you at the front, you, I mean, you when you talk about somebody having a front row seat, I
I can't imagine somebody having more front row seat than being on the goal line as Starr goes in. But in talking to people, what are some of the things that maybe they told you where it's like, oh my gosh, I never knew that. Were there anything, or did you pretty much know going in everything that happened that day?
Well, yeah, and I wasn't looking for people to tell me it was cold or to tell me that the Packers won.
Right.
You know, it was how the game impacted. And the kind of the moving stories, the high school girl who surprised her father with tickets to the game, his first game ever. And then the people that still have pieces of the goalpost, that they have kept. And you mentioned Vietnam with the one man, my friend Tyler, who was guarding a bridge with another soldier in the middle of the night, and listening to the game on
Armed Forces Radio.
Armed Forces Radio. And then his friend, who was from Dallas, later was killed in Vietnam, and Tyler went to Washington to find his friend's name on the memorial. So the impact of the Ice Bowl has completely different significance to him. So it was the way the game, you know, impacted people and their memories, whether they were at the game or not.
Did you go out that night, Tony, after work downtown?
No, I went home.
Okay.
I had nothing to do. My brother had his car, and we met at his car. It started, and we went home, and I'm sure there was probably some warm drinks waiting for us. I didn't linger.
Somebody just texted, did somebody take Tom Landry's hat that day? I know somebody grabbed Lombardi's, and he got it back from him, right, Tony?
Yeah, he did. He grabbed it right back, and... Yeah, that was amazing. The stuff that was carried out of there, somebody carried a bench out of there.
Yep.
And the man that went down and sat on the Cowboys bench and took Don Meredith a swarm-up jacket.
Yep.
And, security was certainly lax on that day.
Well, I didn't realize, so I read this not long ago, that after Starr scored, like a couple hundred fans rushed the field already. And the cops had to clear the field. You must have been in the middle of that, kind of, huh?
No, I stayed out of that. But
it wasn't far from you, yeah.
Because there were still two desperation passes that Meredith tried after that. The game wasn't over when Bart scored. So,
you know what? I got to tell you something about that. Those last two plays, they're just, whatever. I read Lance Rensel's book, When All the Laughter Died in Sorrow. Yeah. Did you ever read that book?
No, I did not.
Okay, Lance Rensel, bizarre story. Lance Rensel was a great receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. He was married to literally the hottest woman in the United States at the time, Joey Heatherton. Remember Joey Heatherton?
I do remember that. Yes.
Okay. Gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, she was almost like the Taylor Swift of the, you know what I mean? But she was just gorgeous and huge and popular, and he was married to her. And he had a mental illness where he was exposing himself to people. Yada, yada, yada. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
That's what he wrote the story about. He said, "Hey, this is my life. I'm going to lay it out there. I had this issue. Yada yada. I went to, but it was covered. Okay, forget about that part. Okay. But
so
he
wrote a book. Does that have something to do with the Ice Bowl?
Can I finish?
Yeah.
He talked about in those last two plays where it's like he took off. It's Meredith was like just running, and he said he thought he was running. It's like okay, he must have got sacked or something, and he realized the ball was coming to me, and he'd already let up. And he said if he had run full speed,
really?
He had the DB built beat, they could have won it on the last play of the game. A little something that, isn't that something? He admits he blames himself for letting up and not running full speed.
What? And you think about your book, Tony, how that would have just changed
everything. You wouldn't be here, Tony. We wouldn't be talking to you.
Yeah, we would.
Stick with us. Tony Walters, back up this.
...97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
No two people learn the exact same way. So how did Babbel become the award-winning language learning app? We thought of you. All of you. Take Sierra. As a visual learner, she uses Babbel's wordplay videos.
Today I'll share a quick lesson on shopping in French.
Merci beaucoup. Keith is a be-in-the-room-with-real-people kind of learner, so he loves the live online classes with our language experts.
Okay, class. Vos está pronto.
Estamos prontos.
However you learn, Babbel makes it easy. Try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Join Lou Rugani for the Music of the Stars every Sunday morning from 7 a.m. until noon. Lou brings back the nostalgia from the golden age of radio with the music, drama, and comedy shows that made radio magic. Music of the Stars is sponsored by Lakeland Care, providing personalized support that aims to improve quality of life and maintain independence for elders and those with disabilities. It's the Music of the Stars, Sunday at 7 on 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, Talk of Green Bay.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
So what year was this a number one song, Mino?
Oh, man.
It's either 70 or 71.
Choose one. Choose wisely.
Aha. 71.
70.
You got it. 70 is correct.
Oh, so you said choose one.
No, I said choose one.
And I thought that you were giving him a hint, 71, but then you said choose wisely. I thought, well, he doesn't want him to pick one.
You know, okay, you know what you sound like right now? You sound exactly... Tut.
And you want to do a game show with this guy?
I'm going to tell you who he sounds exactly like. Look up Spider. Spider in Goodfellas when he says to Tommy, and Tommy goes, what the bleep is this? I told you I wanted scotch and soda. I thought you said scotch and water. No, I said, well, you said scotch and water.
Okay, whatever. All right. I thought he was... Okay, I'm trying to make a point that is trying to help you out.
Got anyway, a texter. Tony's stories are very interesting. Yes, sir. Got another texter. Hi, guys. Listening from the UP, Lake Ogebeck, Christina. Hey, Christina.
All right.
Your dad is coming on in just a minute. I believe that's the same Christina. Tony, did you hear my story about the Lance Rensel thing, and had you ever heard that before?
No, I hadn't. And, you know, Lance Rensel was the one who caught the go-ahead touchdown pass at the start of the fourth quarter.
Halfback option, but, Dan Reeves.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard that story. I do remember the long passes that I remember one of the passes was intended for Bob Hayes, but and some of the Cowboys thought that there was pass interference, but it was not going to be called. So, there were like two desperation passes, and the game was over.
You know what I'm really happy about? I'm really happy that Donnie Anderson in his later years. Did you talk to him, by the way, Tony?
No, I didn't talk to Anderson. I did talk to the players in the game, except I did get a couple of the Cowboys talk to me. Some of the veteran Cowboys talked about the fact that why did the heck did they play that game in the first place? But no, I didn't talk to the Packer players.
But anyway, Donnie Anderson.
Except for Mercine.
Now in his later years, Donnie Anderson is saying that he scored and the ref screwed it up, that he scored on the second time he carried it.
Yeah. It was close. There's definitely was close. And, you know, you get the different camera angles today, you know, could show that a little bit better. But, yeah, he felt he was in there. But on that, I think on the first try, the second try was definitely blocked. But
that's the reason that he ran in, or that's the reason, because the play was called for Mercine to carry the ball, 34 wedge, I believe was the play. And because correct. Anderson couldn't get any footing, I think that's where Starr decided, okay, you know what? I've at least have better footing because I'm right at the line of scrimmage. And that was the whole, because of Anderson not getting in twice, And it would not have been nearly as fun if Donnie Anderson had scored. I despise Donnie Anderson. I told you my Donnie Anderson story, Tony. But anyway.
Yeah, you did.
A 100 times I've told that story where he turned me down for an autograph when I was a kid, yada, yada, yada. I'm almost over it. So I'm so glad he didn't score. But Donnie Anderson thinks his life would have been different, completely different, if he had scored that touchdown in the Ice Bowl.
It may have been.
I mean, think about it.
I mean, it may have been because you remember we talked a little bit about Favre, Gasson, just if that can pole vault you to
not even
giving talks, getting a few more $100. I didn't know all that. Like, I just thought the game was the game, you know, and now I hear that we were, some guy throttled back or he could have got a touchdown and beat us.
Yeah.
Wow, that would have changed this.
Yeah. You know what I'm ticked off at Lombardi about, though, Tony?
What's that?
You know what I'm ticked off at Lombardi about?
What's that?
Chuck Mersine. The Chuck Mersine story is such a great story. Grew up in Milwaukee, played high school football at, I believe, Marquette, went to Yale, bounced around the NFL, New York Giants, Washington Redskins. Packers had some injuries. They were devastated with injuries. You know, you want to talk about what happened afterwards. Oh, what a disappointment with the Packers from 68 on. That was a walking, wounded, old team at the end of 1967. I mean, there was not a lot of gas left in the tank. And it was one of those situations where they were just, Lombardi did a phenomenal job picking up Chuck Mersine off waivers. He had some of the biggest plays down the stretch in the Ice Bowl. It was huge for him. It was the greatest moment of his life. And they assumed then because he did so good, he was going to start the next week in the Super Bowl. And he never played. Never got off the bench.
No. Yeah, he told me that the Super Bowl really defined him. And, it's something that that he wrote the foreword for my book and did such a great job of that. And he said he still runs into people. He ran into Bill Murray, the comedian, who once said, Chuck Mersine, the Ice Bowl. So it was his identity, yeah.
Isn't that something? I mean, just like we were saying about if Donnie Anderson had scored.
Right.
You know, and Chuck Mersine because NFL films, I still remember him catching that pass out in the left flat, Tony. Remember him chugging down the sidelines? And he almost scored, actually.
That was a big play. That got him a first down, and that kept the drive alive. And it was the next play, then the pass to Mersine that took it down into the red zone.
Yep. And then it was, just inching your way forward from there.
That's amazing, the recall you guys have on that. But football does that. I mean, even today.
God. I can see it in my mind.
But even today, though, I think these games are so exciting, and they get down to these last couple plays. So many games are now within 2, 3, 4 points, And, I think whoever came up, I don't know. I just think that's an awesome revenue stream, right? I mean, the NFL, it just gets better and better and better.
Todd, he's got to mention revenue or finances.
Absolutely.
Revenue or finances.
That's the name of the game show. Revenue or finances.
Revenues or finance, yeah. Well, Tony, it's really great having you on.
And
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful memories. One last thing you want to say about all your years covering the Green Bay Packers and your work with the Press Gazette?
Oh, no, it's just that having grown up there, and you cheer for the Packers, but then you also work the games, and it's a professional job. But I always tell people, it's football. Enjoy it, but it's football. It's not life and death, And
absolutely.
Today, today people are just moaning and groaning about what happened on Sunday. And I said, a better team won.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
It was. There was an article one time in a national magazine, and it talked about how the fans are more depressed than the players.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exactly. Not even a question.
That's
exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not even a question. You know what? As a player said one time, payday is Tuesday, win or lose.
Yeah.
And as
yeah.
Larry McCarron told me one time during his playing days, it's not whether you win or lose. It's who gets the blame. Tony Walters, wonderful having you on. You've written some great books.
Guys.
Keep it rocking, my friend.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you so very much for joining us, Tony.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Take care, buddy.
Guy, huh?
Coming up next, he's the best. Coming up next, Chuck Wellens talking about his day or his night in Vietnam listening to the Ice Bowl. Back after this.
What year, John?
65.
You're off this morning. 1963.
That far back they go, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Tuesday. Happy New Year's Eve. Today is often a day for reflection, and as we round out the year, we recap 2024 with Wisconsin's Farm Service Agency. Stick around.
Steffes Group has been in the business of marketing farm, construction, transportation equipment, and farm real estate at public auctions for over 60 years. With locations across the Midwest and Rocky Mountain region of the United States, their team is readily equipped to handle any of your auction needs. Sell with confidence, knowing that their team of professionals prioritize honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit steffesgroup.com to find a representative near you and discuss your options for selling with Steffes today.
Gene Schrieffer leads Wisconsin's Farm Service Agency. He reflects on how the FSA office has been able to adapt to some of the challenges since he started with the office about 4 years ago.
We were in the midst, turned out to be the tail end of COVID, doing a lot more remote work. And thinking back to those times and before then, it wasn't until we had our backs against the wall that we were forced to change, to learn different ways of delivering farm programs. You know, and I remember USDA, FSA offices, NRCS offices were closed. It was remote. We had to do things by phone. Thinking about all the times I had to come into the office to fill out my crop reporting, fill out this form, complete this survey, whatever. It's like, oh, how are we going to do that? And we figured it out, or they figured it out. I hope we continue with that momentum.
Gene Schrieffer is the director of Wisconsin's Farm Service Agency. Stick around for more agribusiness news coming your way.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Here's what's happening in Wisconsin agriculture on a Tuesday. The state's show pig industry continues to grow, and it's drawing families from not only farms or hobby farms, but also urban areas. And as the demand for show pigs rises, Wisconsin breeders are stepping up to meet it. The swine team with the Division of Extension is hosting the Show Pig Symposium. This will be on January 11th at the Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. The event is open to everyone, from first-time pig owners to experienced breeders. Attendees are asked to register by January 3rd. You can do that at WPPA.org. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Happy New Year's Eve.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy today with a high in the mid-30s this afternoon. The wind north to northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, a few flurries, our low 23. Tomorrow, it will be mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we run through some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things. Also, we talk the wonderful world of weddings coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
For
WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. This spring's Wisconsin Supreme Court election between former Republican Attorney General Brad Scheimel and liberal Dane County Judge Susan Crawford is promising to be another high-spending contest for ideological control of the court. Wisconsin Watch is fact-checking the candidates, including Scheimel's claim that Crawford opposes the state's voter ID law. Is that true? Here's Tricia Young.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford has opposed the state's voter ID law, which took effect in 2016. Crawford, a lawyer in a lawsuit that challenged voter ID, suggested it would be, quote, acceptable, unquote, if voters could sign affidavits instead of showing ID. In 2018, she called the law, quote, draconian, unquote. UW-Madison estimated the law prevented 4,000 to 11,000 Milwaukee and Madison area voters in 2016. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Setting New Year's resolutions, or goals, is the tradition for the beginning of the new year. Emily Wright, a lifestyle coach with True Self Coaching and Energetics in Poinette, says keeping the goals achievable is important.
I think it's important to have a realistic expectation so we're not setting ourselves up for a disappointment right away. And I think the baby steps is key, because that way we can, maybe you have the goal of 40 pounds, but maybe it's 2 pounds in the first month. So can we achieve that? Fantastic. Can we achieve then what is the next one?
Wright also recommends writing down your goals so that you can revisit them and celebrate your successes. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Happy New Year's Eve to you here. Coming your way from 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 WISS in Oshkosh, and our brand new affiliate, 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton. 32 degrees in Green Bay, 32 in Appleton, 32 in Oshkosh. New Year's Eve, it is Champagne Day. It is Make Up Your Mind Day. Donald Trump Jr. is 46. Anthony Hopkins, who will forever, he could do any movie or anything in the world, and he's always Hannibal Lecter, matter what. No Val doubt. Kilmer is 64. Is he? I thought Val passed away.
Nope, he's alive.
Boy, he looked rough in the new Top Gun.
That's why you thought he was dead.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got a text here. Hi, Dad. We're having pasties today that my husband made. I'll save one for you, John. Love the stories you guys got this morning. Who's that? Any idea who that would be, Chuck? Go ahead, put the headphones on you. Any idea who might be having a pasty in the UP today?
Yep, with her husband? That'd be my daughter.
Get up to the microphone.
That'd be my daughter.
There you go. She married a Uper, right?
Yeah, all the way, yeah.
He's got two grandsons, Jim, that if you wanted to carve out a mini Uper, Finlander, linebacker, lumberjack, your two grandsons fit that mold perfectly, don't they?
Oh, for sure, yep. And I was holding the newborn one. He's about 3 months old now, and I thought, does he have any of my traits? Then he passed gas for about 5 seconds and fell asleep. And I said, hey, he's got some of me.
We're with Chuck Wellens. Chuck's got a great story to tell about his days in Vietnam regarding on this day, the Ice Bowl Day. And Ron Umentum, who I just can't believe the picture that you're captured in for immortality sake, who's also ended up in Vietnam but was at the Ice Bowl. Then we got Rocky Blyer coming up, who brings it all together with us. So really honored to have you guys. Ronnie Umentum, great to have you here, buddy.
Thank you, John.
Now I gotta tell you, looking at that picture that you got blown up, I had seen it smaller. So we've got a picture. I don't know if Todd, if we could put it up, I don't know, in the camera or something, but people have to see this. I mean, you went through Vietnam, you went through a tough life, whatever, growing up and everything. We still talk about how you had icicles coming out of your ceiling. Jim and I talked about that one day that you told us the day at the steak fry. All right, steak fry.
You had heat in your bedroom.
At the cholesterol fest?
Oh, at the cholesterol. You mean when I lived on the farm? Maybe.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. We didn't have an insulation in the house. We only had one one furnace in the middle of the room downstairs with a small hole in the floor to heat the upstairs. And when we'd go to bed at night, if I brought a glass of water up there, it would be froze by morning. And wow. I had three other brothers. During the winter, we all slept together.
Wow. Isn't that something? Well, Chuck, we got to talk
about... No CPS back? No Child Protective Services? I mean, wow, that just wouldn't happen today. But, I mean, look how well you turned out, right?
That probably I don't. That wasn't a big deal that back then. A bunch of people. I slept with two of my brothers. When both of my brothers came home from the Army, and I was probably like seven, I slept between them. So we had three people in a bed.
Yeah, but you had heat, is what I'm saying. Well, I was talking about the heat. I don't care who you slept with.
I was used to that. So when the ice bowl came up, that was a piece of cake.
Well, Chuck, I'm going to start with you. First of all, a graduate of Promontory High School, played football, the whole thing, and then you join the Army and you get sent. Army and the Marines! Oh! Lordy, I'm so sorry.
It's last time he's on.
last time he comes in. Talk about what you remember on New Year's Eve of 1967, where you were, what you were doing, and the whole thing.
Okay, I got to Vietnam about mid-December, and I landed in Da Nang. Marines were up in the I Corps, and the outfit I was attached to, the infantry company I was going to be attached to, was up by the DMZ then.
And that's why I say when I Corps, that's the most northern part of Vietnam, where a lot of action took place, because it was right across the imaginary line. Yeah. What did you call that line? That
the DMZ?
Time? Yeah, but there was another name you came up for it with McNamara's. Was it McNamara's line, the idiots or something?
Oh, McNamara's moron.
It's right on there.
And no disrespect to you, Chuck. He's just talking about the people that got sent there down the road. But you were so far up north, it was incredible. Young kid from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Talk about, or actually.
Stiles,
Wisconsin. Talk about what. I mean, how your world changed, where you were, what you were doing.
Well, it was all new to me. We were considered the FNG, new guy, is the last word. I won't say the first word, fill in the blank there. But we got no respect, as Roger in Dangerfield would say, but we had to earn it. And I'm sure you agree with me that, Ron, when you actually got in combat. So I started heading to link up with my company, and they were at the place called Quezon at the time. Never heard of it. Very remote area. We flew in there. It was relatively quiet then. And the day we spent Christmas Day at the base itself. And it was the last shower and the last hot meal I had to have for 4 months. Then the day after Christmas, we walked to a hill outpost about a mile from the base itself. It was called Hill 861. The number meant the meters high it was. It overlooked the Quezon Basin. It was a thorn in the side for the enemy, so that you keep the high ground. You know, we were able. The base itself was down in a valley.
And again, North Vietnamese, North Vietnam, you could see it probably from that hill, right?
Oh yeah, it was. You could see the Ho Chi Minh Trail at nighttime. You'd see the vehicles going down it, and it was. It was quite an experience, all new to me, and I think I can share this with Ron. I had no clue what was going to go on. I just assumed that, I don't know where I got this idea, I figured the North were backward people with old rusted rifles from World War I.
Right.
Well, I was wrong. The North Vietnamese were very well disciplined, but I found that out in the future. But for the first month, about, you were able to adjust. We pulled daily patrols down into the valley, seen a lot of activity. Still not a bit scared. I was just too dumb to be scared, I guess. And then one of the things we had, I was attached. I was in a mortar squad. It was a 60-millimeter mortar squad, and there was a gunner and a gunner, and we had a radio watch at nighttime. And being the FNG, I got always the middle of the night radio watch. And the radio was connected to our command post. They were in touch by means of the backpack radios with the guys that were outside the perimeter at night, either ambush or a listening post. And if they needed supporting arms, be it high explosive rounds from us or illumination rounds, they'd call and we'd answer the radio. Well, it was a underground bunker. Two guys, the gunner and the A gunner, slept in that bunker. And then you manned the radio. The only light you had was a flickering candle. But we did have one luxury we had in this very, very remote area was a transistor radio. We were able to get batteries from it because they had to replace them in the radios that they had there. So we always had that. And we had music from the 60s. and they had had a disc jockey on there. Her name was Chris Noel, and she had the sexiest voice in the world. And I always remember her signature thing was "Hi, love." And then they'd play the music from the 60s, and you'd just sit there, 2-hour watch, and it was probably 1, 2 in the morning. And I was listening on the radio, and they interrupted the program to say that live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Lambeau Field. I thought I was dreaming. No, this can't be true. And here it is, you know, halfway around the world, and I'm listening to the, you know, I was a very avid Packer fan, still am, but, you know, it was just remarkable. Like, you fell off the face of the earth where we were at. It was so remote. And to be able to listen to that. And the whole game, I took my watch, the next guy's watch, and I think I went into I didn't fall asleep either, you know, but I listened. And I'll never forget at the, you know, it was an AM. They had a strong signal there, the Armed Forces radio network and repeaters. So in being up on a hill, we got a pretty good signal, even on an AM station there. And it was they started to lose the signal. You know how it fades in and out, right?
That's AM radio.
right towards the end of the game, and I had my ear right up to the speaker, and I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden I heard two words, star and touchdown. And I let out an old Packer yelp. The two guys that were sleeping, they just jumped up, and they called me every dirty name in the book.
This is in the middle of the night on a hill in Vietnam.
Yep, and they said, they probably not Packer fans, I guess. But, I mean, and I don't know how they got that signal over there. I imagine it was remote to the prehistoric to today's standards, but obviously they had a
relay.
Exactly. I don't know how they did it, but it was such an important part of, you know, it really cheered you up quite a bit. And then it'd be the 57th year of the anniversary of the start of TET then, which was January 21st. Mm-hmm. And that's where I lost my FNG title.
Fan right then, huh?
Yeah, it was quite an episode. So I mean, but I'm still here. I'm happy. I made a lot of new friends.
But for a young kid, homesick, you know, where in the world am I to hear Green Bay, Wisconsin?
Oh yeah, yep. And it's funny because a lot of the fellas at that time, I mean, you were talking the 60s. They didn't even know where Wisconsin was. But when you said Green Bay Packers, you know, so it was quite a thrill and an honor, and I mean, I was floating high for a couple of days.
What a phenomenal story!
It's awesome. Wow, and we still have that. You know, you talk about you're halfway around the world, and Green Bay, Wisconsin meant something even today, right? When you travel, some people don't know where Wisconsin is, but everybody knows the Packers.
That's it. Yeah, they put us on the map for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and your world changed in a couple of weeks, then, huh?
Yes, on the 21st of January, I found out that it wasn't old rusty rifles that they were carrying. We got hit, and we got hit bad. They busted through our lines, and it was just from then on, we were stationary, completely surrounded by a very strong North Vietnamese army. It had been suicide to go down, so we just stayed in a defensive position for almost 4 months. But we had one another. You know, I mean, I tell you, the brotherhood of the military is just remarkable, and I say that
it still is, isn't it?
You betcha. Oh, yeah. And I tell you, as you get older, and I thank, you know, John, you guys so much for honoring us veterans. It means so much to us.
It's well deserved, buddy. We're doing the easy part. You guys did the heavy lifting. Yeah, well, we just BS for a living.
Yeah, that is a great story, though. Everybody feels so bad that you were there, and that was like a slice of kind of hometown, right?
Yeah,
right,
it was. Here, you know? And then at the time, I brought the thing along, the article along. I was, they had a thing or something about honoring the 40th anniversary of the Ice Bowl, and by that time it had been kind of iconic already, you know.
Yeah,
and we
we're gonna catch up with
you. Yeah, we're gonna catch up with that
right after this.
We got Chuck Wellens talking about an amazing story when he was in Vietnam. Ron Umentum, who ended up in Vietnam shortly after the Ice Bowl, but there was a look on his face on a classic picture that we've got here. You looked like the Viet Cong were coming after you right then, Ronnie. You had a look of terror in your face. We'll talk about it when we come back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy with today's Work Money Minute and a little bit of tough love about investing in collectibles. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Collectibles are just not good investments. Comic books, Beanie Babies, World War II memorabilia, American Girl doll stuff. They just don't math out as investments. Now, collecting as a hobby that brings you joy is perfectly fine if you can afford it. Just don't confuse the fun of the hunt with the potential for profits. And importantly, they are illiquid, meaning you can't turn it into cash in a pinch like you can with a real security like a stock. Now, I'm not saying you gotta stop collecting whatever you enjoy. Just make sure you're paying down your high interest debt like credit cards and saving for retirement. For more tips on saving more and spending less, search up Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
What year was this number one, John Mino?
This is old.
62.
One?
61.
Wow.
Jim Schmidt is
Jim
winning
is
today.
Jim is kicking my butt today on this.
Hot.
Well, we're... Wow. Okay, we're a year apart, John. That's why.
I know. All right.
Putting up that picture, by the way, with...
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
If you can look on our thing. Yeah, that is you, Ryan.
Well, that picture was just made a week ago. My son Ryan made it. And I never had that picture made. It's the first time I saw it made that size. In what is that, 58 years, 57 years?
57.
That's incorrect. So describe, for people that can't see that picture, describe it. This is, and for everybody's seen the highlights of the ice ball, but after the game ended, you guys went crazy on the field, tore down the goalposts. First of all, I can never figure out how you can even tear down a goalpost. What was in your mind that day when you stormed the field? How old were you? What's going on in your world, Rod and Momentum, on that day of the ice ball when you're tearing down the goalposts?
Well, at the moment... there was a lot of Pabst Blue Ribbon on my mind. we talk about the cold weather.
Well, you know what's funny? When you see pictures of the scoreboard, the big thing on top, it isn't a Packer logo, it's a Pabst logo.
It is, and that's what I was drinking. And, well, anyway, when I went to the Packer game, my sister and brother-in-law had an extra ticket because they couldn't find anybody else to go. So we end up sitting, I believe it was on row 15, in the same end zone that Bart Starr, wearing number 15, crossed the... Across the goal line, right, it was right in front of him. And then, like, was it 30, 35 years later, I end up getting tickets in row 15.
Out of the blue.
Yes.
Unbelievable. So, game ends. How old are you?
I was 18.
And what happened? Well, you weren't allowed to drink yet, so you weren't, that wasn't a problem.
Oh, yes, it was 18 years. 18
oh, was it then?
Yes.
Okay, well, you Denmark boys, you're like that. What happened then?
First beer.
Well, after he scored, of course, there was a few more plays, I think, after.
Yeah.
But a bunch of people, you know, jumped the wall or fence, and started onto the field. And I was on my way over too. And I wanted to get one of the Titletown banners.
Okay.
Well, everybody was heading there, and I saw the goalpost on the opposite end. So I started heading down there as fast as I could, and people were falling off the goalpost. When I got on, my hands were so cold. If you look at the picture, my hands were so cold they were in a ball. They weren't in the fingers because you can see it clearly on the picture.
Oh. The glove.
And when I got there, there was a guy ahead of me on the post, And I remember he flipped over and he fell off. And I got all the way up to the to where the post goes.
How
up.
Do you climb up that on a cold, icy piece of metal? How did you climb up to the crossbar?
It was called the Pap's Push.
Okay.
Wow. No, there was people kind of pushing you up.
Okay.
And yeah. then when I got up there, and I don't know how I got up that other angle, because then it started to turn, and all of a sudden well, somebody stole my hat. Okay. It's like Tony was saying that they stole one of the coach's hats.
Vince Lombardi's. Yeah.
And so if I've ever got my hat, I would like to have it back. So anyway, we got up to the top where the goalpost, and it snapped off and fell into the crowd. And it didn't hit the ground because it just fell into all the people. And then it snapped off. People started dragging it. And I had to catch my ride home because my sister and brother-in-law stayed in the seats, and I had to make sure I got back to the car. So I just left. But I never knew that picture was taken.
You look like you're hanging on for dear life in that picture.
I was. It was very cold, and that goalpost was ice cold. And it was just, like I said, you can see in the picture, I didn't have my fingers extended into the gloves because my hands were so cold.
When you went on the field, did you think, ooh, I shouldn't really be doing this? Or was the crowd, did anybody, the cops say, hey, look?
I think Harry mentioned the Pabst factor.
Well, you know, speaking of the Pabst, so you can only drink so many, because that's back in the day when you could bring it in. And I think I had stuffed maybe 6 or 8 cans, you know, in my jacket.
Wow.
And you could take, if you opened the can, you could keep it close to your body. If you opened the can, you could take 2 drinks, and it was froze.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of almost chug them down. So that's how cold it was.
Wow.
It would freeze.
Were you legally allowed to carry in? I remember my dad would carry a flask, and every time the Packers would score, they'd do a shot, but you just hide that. I didn't know you could carry alcohol into games.
Well, I ushered for 26 or 27 years. And during my early days of ushering, people could bring bottles of whiskey. I saw people bringing quarter barrels of beer.
I never knew this.
They would carry the quarter barrels of beer and then pass the beer down the cups down the
Unbelievable.
Aisle.
Wow. Now that, nothing's changed.
If I was there.
Wow.
Wow, that's great stuff. So we've got Chuck Wellens, who, as we mentioned, was in the United States Marine Corps right at the border of North Vietnam. Chuck, was that about as bad a place as you could be in Vietnam at that? You didn't know it yet, but was that about as bad as a place you could be at that time?
I would say yes, but it was my initiation into Vietnam. And I thought after that, I'm not going to make it for 13 months. We had a 13-month tour. And come to find out, it wasn't that bad all the time once we left Khe Sanh, you know. But it was a constant, it was very intense. Your nerves were on edge, you know. But there again, you looked around you, we were all in the same boat. And we were brothers.
Chuck, I think, you know why the Marines spent 13 months in Vietnam? It took the Army 12 months to get the job done.
I felt that one coming.
Okay, we're going to be sending it to a quick break. We're going to talk about more, and we've got Rocky Blyer coming up in just a little bit. Chuck, that was really cool when we had him at the Veterans Village a couple of years ago, and we had a little get-together with Rocky and you and him, and you tell him about how you didn't quite tackle him, but you thought you touched his foot as he ran past you?
I seen the bottom of his...
Or you saw
the... saw the bottom of his cleats there.
Same as tackling Rocky Blyer.
That's the most
close as anybody got when he was in high school. This is great having you guys on. Again, Rocky Blyer coming up. Joe Furlow, the Grand Oshkosh PBS special being aired tonight that was shot there. Mino and the Mayor coming your way. 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 in Oshkosh and Appleton on WISS. Back after this.
And what year was this number one?
76.
75.
Damn! Yeah.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we lead into Civic Media's New Year's Eve celebration with Lou Regani, with highlights from my appearances on some of your favorite Civic Media shows. Happy New Year, everyone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. 2025 has arrived in Sydney, Australia. Over a million people were there when midnight arrived with music, fireworks, and indigenous performances. Here at home, over a million people expected to brave the rain tonight in New York's Times Square. Security is tight. A team from the NTSB arriving in South Korea to join investigators at the scene of one of the worst aviation disasters in history. ABC News contributor John Nance, a pilot, doesn't expect quick answers about the commercial jet crash Sunday that killed 179 people on board.
As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see a final report take a year. By the same token, we will know very rapidly what some of the major factors were.
The Biden administration is accusing China of a major security breach at the Treasury Department and accused of accessing unclassified documents. Not clear if the incident's related to a hack last month that targeted telecommunications. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa.